Sunday, 15th of March, Yotzei Adar, Rav Shimshon Silkin, Moshe Rabbeinu, and Interdependence.
Yesterday we heard the words, and this is also relevant to Pesach coming up. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe, lech rei tishiches amcho. Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, lech go raid, go down. Descend. Ki shiches amcho, because your nation has become corrupt. Asher he'aleisom eres Mitzrayim, that you brought out of Mitzrayim. This is just after the chet of the Egel. Hashem says to Moshe, your nation has become corrupt, therefore lech raid. Pasuk Yud, Hashem says, va'ato hanicho li, and allow me, leave me, v'yichar api bohem va'achaleim, and my anger will be kindled against them, and I will destroy them, va'achaleim, and I will destroy them, ve'eseh oitzecha l'goy godol, and I will make you into a new nation, into a big nation. In other words, I'll destroy Klal Yisrael as they are today, and I will keep you, Moshe Rabbeinu, as the remaining last man standing, out of which I will regenerate a nation. Fast forward towards the end of the Pasuk Lamed Beis, Moshe Rabbeinu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as follows. Ba'ato, he says, Im tiso chatosam, if you will, please carry, please bear the burden of their sin, of Klal Yisrael. But ve'im ayin, but if not, Mecheni no misifricha asher chasovta, please wipe me out, erase me from your book that you wrote. We'll come back to Moshe Rabbeinu's statement at that point. What does the Kadosh Baruch Hu respond to Moshe Rabbeinu? Vayoyma Hashem al Moshe. It's not going to help. You give up after a while. Vayoyma Hashem al Moshe. Mi asher chota li emchenu misifri. He who has sinned against me, I will wipe out from my book. So, until here, we have enough to ask questions about. First of all, grammatically speaking, v'im ayin mecheni no misifracha? What does im ayin mean? It should say v'im loy. If you will carry their sin, good, and if not, v'im loy mecheni, or v'im ayin mecheni no misifracha? Sorry? It should say v'im loy mecheni no misifracha? But the second question is much more poignant. Moshe Rabbeinu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says, please carry the sin of the people. Right? He's once again the ambassador of Klal Yisrael, putting his neck on the line, saying, either you forgive them, right, or you wipe me out of your book. And just for a moment, by the way, if Moshe Rabbeinu is wiped out of the Torah, then it's not just like, okay, now we have a Torah without Moshe Rabbeinu. There's no Torah. There's nothing. Imagine you take out every Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Lemor out of the Torah. What do you have left? You have nothing left. Torah Moshe Avdi. The Torah is called Torah Moshe. Right, so Moshe Rabbeinu is basically saying, take me out of the Torah if I've taken the engine out of the car. Where are you going to go? Right? There's no Torah. There's nothing. Right? And if there's no Torah, there's no world. Soyu Vavoyu. Right? Either you forgive them or it's over. What does the Kadosh Baruch Hu say back to him? Kadosh Baruch Hu says, sounds like, Mi asher choto li emchenu misifri. It sounds like he says to Moshe Rabbeinu, excuse me? Don't tell me how to run my affairs. You're offering to be wiped out of my book. I'll decide to get wiped out of my book. Mi asher choto li emchenu misifri. He who has sinned against me, that person I will wipe out of my book, and not you, Moshe Rabbeinu. In other words, mind your own business. That's what it sounds like. Moshe says, wipe me out of your book. Hashem says, thank you. It sounds like a child and their teacher, you know, trying to tell them what to do. Hashem, but if that's the truth, then why tacky did HaKadosh Baruch Hu not do that? That's not the pshat. Clearly that's not the pshat. Because you go on to see, you know, you see, Klal Yisrael survived. Moshe Rabbeinu manages to protect Klal Yisrael. That time is running away. So, it's important to know what happened at the beginning of the conversation between HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What exactly Moshe Rabbeinu is looking to get from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's important to know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu replied to him and what that achieved in terms of Klal Yisrael themselves. So the Sforim say like this. The Sforim say something fascinating regarding the human condition, regarding people. The whole world is comprised of 6.5 billion individuals. Every single person, as we know from the Gemara, is unique. No two people look the same, no two people think the same, no two people have the same package in life. No one ever was like you, is like you, will ever be like you. Most parts are the same, right? Just like they look different, that's because their thought processes are different. Of course, right? Everyone has a very unique and specific and individualistic approach to life that only that person can do. That's the Yisod Gadol, everybody knows that. That's really the beginning of the Mesillas Yesharim, right? Yisod HaChassidus, V'Shor HaAvodah She'Yisbor Evis Ames Eitzel HaAdam Ma Choyvosoi Ba'Olam Oy. It doesn't say that the duty of life is that everyone is supposed to know what it says in the Torah. It doesn't say that the duty of life is that everyone is supposed to know what everyone else is supposed to do, right? And then we just follow them, right? Rather, the duty of every single person is to know what is his choyva in his world, because everyone has their own world and their own association with that world and interaction with that world. So this one called this klal uprat. Basically, every single person is their own prat, is their own little piece on that giant puzzle, and that is who they are, the individual, their own identity. But yet at the same time, that unique feature could also somehow also be true about any living creature. It's possible that any living creature also has a certain sense of his own identity. It's possible, right? It's possible that the cat, you know, is running, slinking down the street, also has a certain awareness of its identity. But there is another awareness. There is another feature of the human condition that is unique specifically only to human beings. And that is what we call klal. In other words, the awareness that a person is not just their own individual self, but also that they belong to something much bigger. That it's built into the human psyche, fundamentally into the human condition, that every single individual, while they understand that they are individual, also understand automatically that they also belong to a much bigger picture. That is the ultimate truth. Have you seen your Kellogg's boxes, by the way, from your breakfast shelf at home? If you have to, have you seen one? What's on the back of all the Kellogg's boxes today? Do you know? I'll tell you. Adopt a monkey. Adopt a monkey. Adopt a monkey. They don't even bother trying to explain to you why it's important to adopt a monkey. Right? It's automatically assumed that it is our responsibility to protect the monkeys. Right? So every time you buy a Kellogg's box, you have the opportunity of adopting a monkey, right? I don't think the monkeys, I don't think they're hanging around in the trees in the jungle thinking, let's adopt a child in Africa. Yeah, they don't have their little meetings, come together, have you got any bananas together, set some bananas together, say, that's not happening, right? Because the animals, right, are not thinking about anything outside of their own daladamas. An animal, by definition, is not thinking about the next person. Right? When a wolf steals into a pigsty and snatches a little piglet from under its mother and runs away with it, yeah, it's not thinking about the feelings of the mother pig. It's just not. Because the definition of a chayo, right, is a thing that just operates according to how it operates. It's not taking the wider consequences into account at all. The human condition, on the other hand, right, is always where a person feels that they have a certain individual responsibility to themselves, but they are always cognizant at all times and aware of their responsibility, right, to the wider klal and the consequences of their individual actions on that wider klal. This, by the way, has been the deep-seated struggle, right, of the various movements amongst humanity since time immemorial, right? If you think about it, like, communism, right, we were told, died. Communism died, the Berlin Wall came down, and communism was over, right? First of all, communism is not over, right? If anyone has been to Europe, Eastern Europe, it's not over at all, right? Not as a concept and not as a practice, right? But what replaced communism? Capitalism! Oh, Baruch Hashem, capitalism was the new way forward. Well, capitalism, ladies and gentlemen, in case you hadn't noticed, has pretty much failed. Somebody stood in court yesterday, on Thursday, right? And was told that in June he's going to be sentenced to 150 years in jail. 150 years in jail, yeah? So he said, right, so when they told him, because of what he'd done, So he said, sorry. So five letter word. Yeah, one letter for each $10 billion that he scammed people out of. That's what capitalism comes to. In other words, it sounds like this. Is it Prat or is it Klal? Is it Prat or is it Klal? So Sforim say that every human being is aware of Prat and aware of Klal. But there are those proponents, right, who want to promulgate the concept of only Klal, right, that you belong to the Klal, right? And there are those people that say you belong to yourself. You belong to yourself. They're both wrong. In the extreme, they're both wrong, because it's going to look at this financial collapse, right? What is the perfect balance? The perfect balance, as Sforim says, is someone who understands what they are about, right? But also, right, they understand that they are also responsible for everybody else, right? This is really what the Mishnah is saying when it says in Eina ni li mi li ochshani la'atzmi mo'ani. That's basically what it is. The person needs to have a profound awareness of who they are as an individual. A deep cheshbon ha-nefesh that goes deep inside and is because they are exactly what they are about, what they're not about. But then they can't stay there, right? The tachlis is then to take them and say, oh, now that I found myself, shani la'atmi, yeah, they're morani. What's the point? What's my responsibility? But it goes a bit further than this. So I say, this ability to be aware of the cloud without losing your prat. Yeah, this is the tifa nakuda here. We're saying that the unique faculty of being able to be aware of self, yet being aware of everybody else simultaneously, is something divine. It's a tzelem elokim. Why is that called a tzelem elokim? So as far as we say, without encroaching into areas that we shouldn't encroach into, but we can quote this, what the forum says. When we think about Kodesh Baruch Hu himself, Kodesh Baruch Hu is echod yochid v'miyuchod. Kodesh Baruch Hu is one. Ein od mivad. There's only one Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Not just there's only one Hakadosh Baruch Hu. But Hakadosh Baruch Hu is oneness itself. Right? When we say in the morning Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, we're not just saying Hashem is one, right? Because that's nothing special. I'm also only one. Yeah, that's not the point. The Nekudah is Hakadosh Baruch Hu is oneness itself. There's no such thing as Pirud and Ribui. It's Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Hakadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate, right, expression of complete oneness, complete unity. There's no. That's the echodness, the echod yochid and miyuchid nature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world. He created a world where there is multiplicity. He created a world where there is a left and a right and a front and a back. Yes, and a top and a bottom. He did create a world where there's time and there's space. He created such a world. And all the Sforim say, how is it possible that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's echod yochid and miyuchid create a world that's two? Yeah, it's impossible. It's impossible to understand. And the answer is, we don't know the answer to that, because that's already getting into areas where we don't know. We don't have Shari Yichud. However we understand it, we understand. But the Metzius is that we know for sure that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Echon, Yochid, Umiyuchon, and yet nevertheless he created a universe, right, that allows for Ribui, right, in Pirud and Profit. Right, somehow. What was the point of creation, as far as say? Derech HaTov LaHeitiv. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to create an address to receive his goodness. Right? And the address by nature had to be somebody else. You can't give to yourself. Even if you can pass from your left hand into your right hand, you're still passing from the left hand into the right hand. That still requires physics. Still requires time and space. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if he's going to give himself, it doesn't leave before it's already arrived. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu somehow to be Yochel has to create something outside of him, even though it's the Efes Ulasai, right, that could receive his goodness without ever leaving his Echad Yochel and Yuchadness. That's an incredible concept. But what that teaches is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ein Oid Mulvadoi, but yet nevertheless had, actually Shein Ram Chal, had to create a world to receive his Toiv, otherwise HaKadosh Baruch Hu could not justify his title HaToiv. Yes? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Toiv. You've got to do good to somebody else to be good. There's nothing else outside the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Nevertheless, Kodesh Baruch Hu came along Avraham Avinu and he understood what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was. He understood how the world came into being, of his own volition, of his own convictions. He understood how the world came together. Right, and he understood that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this world as the ultimate echod that somehow created this address that he could mail his goodness to. Yeah. So that is why Avraham Avinu, I know we've discussed this one could have here before. Therefore Avraham Avinu, right, also embarked on a mission of chesed in the world as well. Right? He saw that Kadosh Baruch Hu created Olam Chesed Yibameh, right? So who hadin Avraham Avinu also, because uladov koboi, to attach yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, means that you emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But we see here a fascinating concept, fascinating. HaKadosh Baruch Hu never lost any aspect of his oneness, yet he was still able to create a second to receive his goodness. What we learn from there is an unbelievable concept, and that is as follows. If we want to be like Avraham Avinu uladov koboi, if we want to be dovuk b'Hashem to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ways, right, then we have to understand Pshat in the Pasuk V'ahavta L'Reacha Kamoicha. In Pasuk Shei V'ahavta L'Reacha Kamoicha V'dach Liva B'Nayi. You have to love L'Reacha, somebody else. Yes? All the Sforim say, how is it possible to love Pshat? First of all, how is it possible to command Avo? But even more importantly, how is it possible to love somebody else as much as yourself? You can't love anyone as much as yourself. Just give up trying. It's not shaykh to love somebody else as much as yourself. Not shaykh. Learn shabachinan in Chavis HaVom. It's not shaykh to love anyone as much as yourself. You will always love yourself most. Right? Unless, you know, a strong person has a problem. He's in a home somewhere. Yeah, but technically, no, seriously, technically, a stable person loves themselves. Right? You can't love somebody. You can't command somebody to love somebody else as much as yourself. So Chassid Sherebo once said, pshat is, just like you love yourself despite the fact that you have deficiencies and you know that you're not perfect, that should be your attitude to your neighbour as well. Right? They're also not perfect, but don't focus on their imperfections, focus on their good side. Right? And then you'll come to love them. In other words, apply the same approach. The same way you love yourself despite your problems, yes? You can love your neighbour despite what? Ashenovot, but there's a deeper pshat. There's a deeper pshat. Ashenovot says the Shomim in the 20th Perek. V'ahavta l'reacha kamoicha, kamoicha mamish. What's the name? Kamoicha mamish. You should love your neighbor kamoicha, kamoicha mamish. Says Rav Dessler. I'm worried to give up. But after the record, kamoicha means, it's true. It's true, the Chosef of Avodah says, that you can never really love anybody else as much as yourself. Even though we're thinking as parents, well, I love my children more than myself. Yeah? No. No. That's not the pshat. Chosef of Avodah says, when a person says, I love my child more than myself, I'll give my life up any day for my child, yeah, it's not pshat, yeah, necessarily that there's actually an ahavas hazula, there's an ahavah for somebody else outside of you, because you'll only do it for your child. You won't do it for your neighbor's child. So it's still yourself. And the Sheikh of Sabbath, so what's pshat? What do you see from there? What you see from there is that true ahavas Yisrael comes only by extending oneself into that other person. Kamoicha mamish means, why do you love your child? Why do people love their children more than their parents? Why is that? They think it makes no sense. The parents spend £250,000 raising you, right? And all the effort and all the energy that goes in, and what does the child give the parent back? What? Grief. Sleepless nights, passable grades, right? And yet the ava from the parents of the child is so much more powerful. Right? Then the other way, what's pshat? What's pshat? So this one says, posher, what pshat is? Pshat is because you love yourself. Odom wrote to the tishul kavin shaloi, right? Sorry, Odom wrote to the kavshon, the tishul kavin shachaveroi. You love yourself. The only reason you love your child is because your child is an extension of yourself. A person, if they have ava for their spouse, is only because they've invested so much in that relationship that there is ava there. A person wants to have more ava to Yisrael, they'll only be able to do it if they extend themselves to that other person, so that that person becomes part of them, an extension of their arm. You hear the teeth card of pshat. Pshat is just like a Kodesh Baruch Hu Kivei Yochel is Ein Oid Mulvadoi, right? But yet he extends himself, right, to the outside world, so to every single Yiddish and Neshomala, yes, is infinitely individual. Every Yiddish and Neshomala is infinitely individual. Infinitely individual. Right? According to this, the only way with the Dov Kaboy to emulate HaKadosh Baruch himself is to extend one's own uniqueness and individuality to another person. That is Avos Yisrael. That was Avraham Avinu. Because the ahavta l'reacha is kamoicha. When a person passes on, right, from this world, right, all they have is themselves. There's no one else there. Right? They stand there before the heavenly tribunal. Your mobile is left behind. You can't call the lawyer. You're by yourself. Right? So what determines the gavdasa olam, right? How big government, how big is that person? How many people, right, have been affected, at least to what quality, by your life on that world? It's as simple as that. That's the godless of Adam. But you listen to yourself. What is it? Right? The godless of this type of godless of Avraham Avinu, we'll soon come to Moshe Rabbeinu, is the fact that their avos Yisrael went to such a degree that they just keep growing with every person that they touch. Every person, it's just merely part of their individualistic empire. The Morris says the Brachos Davovam and Beis Ha'olam Nivro Letzeves. The Sforim points out that if you look at the world, the entire universe is designed in this way, where every chelik of the universe is somehow feeding another aspect of the universe. That's the way that the world is designed. Right? The ecological system is designed this way. Because Rocha designed a world where every prit and prat somehow is actually invested in some other prat of creation. And so too likewise. I remember we spent a few days in Kruger Park a couple of years ago, and our guide showed us there was a massive elephant standing there right by the side of the road. Right? And he pointed out to us that just a few feet behind the elephant in these little mopani trees were these little tiny blackbirds. Right? These tiny little blackbirds. He said, you see those blackbirds? I said, you ever see those blackbirds? Just a coincidence, right? I said, yeah, probably just a coincidence. A little blackbird behind an elephant. He says, no. He says, let me show you. So we kept driving through Kruger, and every time we saw a massive elephant, right, that was busy with a tree, right, there's the blackbird. This is really strange. He says, I'll explain to you pshat. He did say pshat, from you, the from bushman. Listen, the father gave. He says, I'll tell you pshat. He says, those elephants are so brilliant that with their dexterity, they are able to strip down these trees, right, and pull out of the inner bark special nutrients that they need in order to survive. But as they do that, they release a swarm of these tiny insects that live inside the tree, right, and those blackbirds actually feed off of those little insects. So the little blackbirds know to hop about behind the elephants, because if they know the elephant's getting dinner, we'll get breakfast. You know what? It's all talk about the bees. I learned this week that one third of the human food supply, right, is generated by the pollination, by the pollination process, by pollinating. Right? We suffer from the hay fever, but the mice wouldn't have anything to eat without the bees. Right? So the flower loses its pollen. Right? But the bees, right? The system is so fantastic. It's unbelievable. The create, unbelievable. The breathe, unbelievable. Every aspect of creation is feeding. In other words, the flower is the flower, the bee is the bee, the blackbird is the blackbird, the tree is the tree, and the elephant. Every aspect of creation is what it is on its own individual. But the kais don't understand that they are actually generating goodness to the rest of the bria by their action. We need to understand that. That's the difference. To be creative with Selim and Lakim means that we are aware of the consequences of every one of our actions on Kol HaBriya Kula. Boom. Now we'll come back to Moshe Rabbeinu. This is a Gevalda Gedach. Moshe Rabbeinu, the Roi Neman. Kosh Baruch said to him, he says to him like this. Hashem says to him, Va'atza anichali v'yicha api bohem va'achalim. I'm going to destroy all of Kal Yisrael, and I will rebuild from you. Yeah, I'll make you into a big nation. We'll get rid of Kal Yisrael, right? And Moshe Rabbeinu will survive. Moshe Rabbeinu says, the point is, he says, I don't understand. You just said to me the words, these words, Lech Reid Ki Shicheis Amcha. What does Rashi say, Lech Reid? Says Rashi, Reid Migdulascha, from Chazal. We didn't go down the mountain. No, Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu after the Chet Ha'egel, "Lech raid, go down, raid migdulascha. Lo nosati lecha gedula elo bishvilam." You, Moshe Rabbeinu, are only who you are because of them. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu's godless was generated by Kal Yisrael, and therefore, seeing as Kal Yisrael have stumbled, you have to go down now. If you go back to Parashat Shemos, where we're talking about Gedulah of Moshe Rabbeinu, it says that twice in a row, two psukim in a row, says the words Vayigdal. In Pasuk Yud it says Vayigdal Hayeled, that's his name, Bas Paroi. Now Moshe Rabbeinu grew up and went to the house of Paroi. And next Pasuk says Vayigdal Moshe. So the Torah say, what's the second Vayigdal? Everyone knows the famous Pshat. Now Moshe in the first Pasuk grew up physically, and in the second Pasuk he grew up spiritually. How did Moshe Rabbeinu become Moshe Rabbeinu? Because what it says, Vayetze El Echo Vayar V'Sivloisom. Here he is sitting in the palace, looking out of his veranda at the scene, right, of Kal Yisrael stooped in back-breaking labor. And what does Moshe Rabbeinu say? I'm going out to labor. How to Echo Komoicha? You have to get involved. You have to get stuck in. So his gedula came. This is what this pasuk means. Echrei Migdulosko. His gedula came about because he extended himself to every single member of Klal Yisrael. Therefore, he turns out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Echvashtenish. You just said to me, Lech Reid, because you understand that I am intrinsically, inherently bound up with Klal Yisrael. And if they go down, I go down. What do you mean you're going to destroy them and keep me behind? I am them and they are me. It's not Yitochen that you can destroy Klal Yisrael and somehow I can survive. If they go down, I go down. You said it to Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Lech Reiki Shichet Amcha. I cannot survive on my own. My whole Gedul only comes from them. Unbelievable. Oh. So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say back? By the way, that is Peshat when he says, we heard this last Sunday night. I can't remember who said it. I think it was Chaim. He said, "Mecheni no mesifrecho, mecheni is oisis mei noach." That it's brought down that Moshe Rabbeinu came to him in Misakhe Noach, because Noach, despite his godliness, at the end of the day, he built himself a little box and he went sailing off down the river in his own little box. Yeah? But he didn't take care of Klal Yisrael. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Mecheni no." If you're going to make me like that, put me in my little box and destroy everybody else, just like in the time of Noach, then I haven't been misakin Noach at all. Gevaldik gevaldik. Mecheni no mesifrecho. I'm not interested. I'm not interested. I've come to fix that. Moshe Rabbeinu, there was a chiddush of Moshe Rabbeinu. This is in the Medrash, which Moshe Rabbeinu. There was a chiddush of Moshe Rabbeinu inside every single Jew, every Yid. A chiddush of Moshe Rabbeinu. A spark of Moshe Rabbeinu. You cannot. They're too intrinsically intertwined. The title of the day was interdependence. Right? People say we need independence. You don't need independence. The people that have independence, they're out of their minds. Right? Those boys in the Japanese jail. Everyone says, you know, the worst aspect is they're all on their own. There's no greater punishment than being on your own. What they call solitary confinement. You know why? Because a person naturally craves company. Right? I don't want to have anything to do with it. By the way, Loshen Ayin, the Sforim say, is the inverted Ani. If the Ein Ani Li Mi Li of that Pasuk is, yeah? If I cannot be part of, if I'm going to have to Shani L'Atmi, then there's Ayin and there's nothing. Ich bin Agon, he says, Ich bin Noan Ani. What's the Kodesh Baruch Hu's response? The Kodesh Baruch Hu says, you know what, Moshe Rabbeinu, you're right, I believe this is Chatan the Pasuk. Whoever sinned against me, I'm going to have to wipe out of my book. But then that means I'm going to have to wipe you out of my book as well. And I don't want to wipe you out of my book because you are my Moshe Rabbeinu. Therefore, I'm going to have to save everybody. Moshe Rabbeinu, by standing there, putting his neck on the line, was not just being a hero. It wasn't just being the ambassador of the people. It wasn't just saying, Hashem, if you destroy them, you destroy me. It's much deeper than that. His Mesiu's Nefesh at that point so concretized his links with every single Yid that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could not destroy Klal Yisrael without having to destroy Moshe Rabbeinu as well. And he couldn't destroy Moshe Rabbeinu. So his Mesiu's Nefesh literally saved Klal Yisrael. Literally saved them. Because he'd extended himself to every single one of them. And to put the cream on this cake, look at the next pasuk. Not next pasuk, Kavlu Sukkim later. We have a carbon copy of that previous pasuk that we read with two differences. The prophet before said, "Vaydav Hashem al Moshe, Lech rei tishiches amcho asher he'eleisom eretz Mitzrayim." This prophet says, "Vaydav Hashem al Moshe, Lech alei mizeh ato v'ho'om asher he'eleisom eretz Mitzrayim." It's the same prophet, with one change, two changes. There it said, "Lech rei." Here it says, "Lech alei mizeh." What changed? What switched the lech rei kishichet amcha to lech alei mizeh out of a ha'omash elis and zoyin? The conversation that we just talked about. If they fall, I fall. But if they go up, I go up. You can't separate them. Muri dikavot. They've gone down, pull you down. I can't go down, okay, then come up. He's so strong with Moshe Rabbeinu's magna, he pulled all the Kali Yisrael up with him. It's a muri dikavot. We're out of time. The Torah say this is really the Yisrael of Yitzhak Mishraim altogether. The concept that Kali Yisrael felt. Kali Yisrael, that's a lot of what Kali Yisrael mean. Kali Yisrael. The social Kali Yisrael Arabim Zel Ozer, right? It's not just a nice idea. It's a Mitzvah. It's an actual Mitzvah. It's an actual Mitzvah. That's what I'm saying. Yenu es Choyte, Miyashe Choto, and Chelo Mitzvah. If someone else is Choyte, then you're Choyte. Loshen is Nitfas, but it's there, but if we don't do what we can. Every Torah Yid understands that there comes a point to where they understand their own proteus thickness, right? Their own individuality, and they have to do all they have to do. And there comes a point and you have to know what right, so the under you were right? So we learn from this from Moshe Rabbeinu, lech rei kishich v'chatzishom, lech alei mizeh atobom, asher yis v'sorom, if we steig, they steig, right, and they're steiging is our steiging.